Welcome to the RodeoKids.com podcast, where we empower youth to be their best selves through the values and traditions of the rodeo and Western lifestyle.
Okay, well, I guess starting rodeo, like, no one understands, like, how difficult getting started in rodeo is and staying consistent with everything is until, like, you actually try it.
So let's And let's first start talking about when you're first starting the sport of rodeo. So you're starting off rodeo. First, you're deciding the events you're going to compete in and your association you want to be in. What are tips you would think, and this is for anybody, finding the right association, but what are things you want to know when joining a new association? I know, like, for me, a big thing with joining a new association is finding someone that you know in the association, for sure, because someone who's been there, who's done that, who knows the small things and the big things. And I know a mistake that I made when starting rodeo is not really finding the event that I'm going to stick with. I kind of was all over the place when doing my events. And so finding a good, solid event that you really want to proceed in. What other hints would you give for starting off in an association in rodeo?
Well, for, like, picking an association, I'm not going to say necessarily some associations are bad, but, like, some associations, they're, like, really small, and some of it is not, like, it's not like high school rodeo where everything is, like, perfect. Like, you just have to be patient and, like, understanding with, like, all the rodeo associations you're in. Like, no association is going to be perfect, but just find an association that, like, you fit into and you actually, like, are able to get your events done, pick your events correctly. They, like, set up for all the events correctly, and it's just like a safe association, I guess.
And I know for us, when we started our association, when we started the youth association, we actually went and watched a couple of the rodeos. That was probably one of the most helpful things we could have done. Not only did we make friends with somebody in the association that knew parking, knew what time to be there, knew when things changed, knew the order of events, because things change, websites don't get updated, Facebook posts don't get updated. So people who kind of know the changes and whatever, that was a big help. Being able to see the flow of everything. And when we started rodeo, none of us ever did rodeo. It was our first time. So watching all the events, deciding exactly what event we were going to compete in, that helped extremely, you know, because kind of jumping into it that fast, like, we always watch rodeo videos and whatever, but jumping into it that fast without going and watching it in person is a big thing.
And what did you want to say, Gentry?
I was just gonna say, like, when you're gonna begin to start rodeo, you want to make sure you. Well, this is what I like. I made sure I had friends in the industry and things like that, and what their association was. So I was talking to them about that. We watched rodeos on, like, the Cowboy Channel and stuff like that to see what it was. And I started at a very young age, so it.
Yeah, Gentry, were y'all first generation?
We're third.
Third. And what are you, Kaylin?
I'm a first generation. Like, I didn't start until a year ago.
Isn't that crazy? So, we've been doing rodeo for 4 years, and, like, it's a lot to get into. It really is. Especially, like, if your parents haven't done it, if you don't have the right things you need, trying to figure it out, it's a lot to deal with.
And one thing, like, right now, so I started multiple associations, and I do have multiple horses, but now I have a sibling that's riding some of my horses, too. So it's, like, not putting too much on yourself or your animals, like, picking the right associations that you feel like you could benefit the most from, mm-hmm. and limiting yourself
And even with your events, I would see, I mean, even if you did one association, I know for me, when we first started rodeo, we thought we could just bring a couple horses and share. Well, there was a lot of us, and sharing just a couple horses, that was a lot. You know, we didn't realize the fast pace of rodeo. Like, it's, I mean, I think a couple of us might even have got scratched because the fast pace, oh, we can switch a saddle real quick, we can do this real quick. It wasn't like that. It moved in such a fast pace. And so really preparing, and that goes back to even going and watching more rodeos to see the fast pace. We watched, but we thought we overthought our abilities and being able to switch things. And so, you know, really thinking about your horse and really getting a game plan, is another huge thing to think about.
Yeah.
So what, let's go into problems you see in rodeo. You know, what are problems? Not maybe problems you see, but what are problems you face in rodeo starting off? You know, I know Kaylin's new, but what are things you see, problems that you have?
Well, so like the association we run, they're like sometimes we run two arenas and I run five events. So it's like really hard to get back and forth from like say I got a shoot dog, but I got to be up for poles like at the same time. So it's just like it's difficult because you have to make sure you're warming your horses up good enough that they won't get hurt before you run them. Because I'd rather keep my horses safe than getting a clean run, you know? So
Oh
it's
yeah.
just I feel like that's a problem you see in rodeo industry. People will just jump on their horses and like not even have much time to warm up and just go out there and run. And I feel like that's just dangerous for the horse and the rider.
Well, yeah, for sure. And like, it seems like you have the announcer telling you one thing about the pin. You have the director up here telling you one thing, and the director down there telling you one thing. And it's just like you don't exactly know which direction to go into when you're have multiple events in two different arenas. And so I can definitely see that's a problem and a lack of communication on their side. And yeah, I can see how that's stressful at times. Gentry and Rooster, what are problems y'all face in rodeo?
Just able to find friends to rope with or even get in because starting a new association is hard to find it.
I do see that. You know, it seems like it, when you're starting anything new, whether it's school or rodeo or whatever, it seems like you're the odd one out. You're always being looked at, or, you know, trying to find that place to fit in is kind of hard. And one thing that I've kind of tried to do is not only try to be nice and go and make that friend and make that connection, because often when you feel that, when you feel that energy from other people, it's a back down reaction. A lot of back down reaction of let me go hide over here, let me go hide over there, instead of going and facing it and going and talking. And often what you'll find is that it's not what you thought it was. They're really nice. They're, you know what I mean? Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
So what are tips for finding friends in a rodeo? I think we're breaking
She
up.
disappeared.
Sorry, my internet is going in and out. But I just asked Isaiah what he asked.
I said, what are tips for finding friends in rodeo?
I mean, I really. So at first, you're just like, you keep to yourself. You don't really talk to anyone. But you just have to like understand that even if you talk to someone and hey, like you don't get along, like you don't like each other or something, like I don't know. But like just not shutting yourself off completely and finding your group.
Right. Gentry, what was your
I
question?
think one of the things when it comes to making friends in anything, like whether it's rodeo or anything, and your guys' generation has a different struggle than like per se mine because we didn't have phones or social media or anything like that. Like we had to communicate with people face to face all the time or talk on the phone with our voices and things like that. Whereas one thing that I found even like with the Pony Pros and the rodeo kids, like communicating with you guys is different than communicating with adults.
who didn't grow up with the social media and all that kind of stuff, but putting yourself out there, no matter what, kind of like what you guys were saying before, but just being willing to be vulnerable and letting people get to know you and not worrying about what they think. And, you know, we were just, Brooke, our equine dentist and I were just briefly talking about how much harder it is for you guys to speak your mind and to be yourself because there's so much on a video and there's so much on a screen and there's so many times that you might get your picture taken or people can form opinions and post them on social media that aren't true, you know, and whether that's something that happens often or never happens to you, you still know that it's there and there's still like this lingering threat that it may happen. But I think just learning how to be authentic and not care what other people think is so important. It's like, be yourself and know that God made you and that you're in this position for a reason and that you add value here. And like, he brought you to this rodeo with these people to shine your light and for their light to be shined on you for a reason. And just letting go of any other fear that there may be, because, you know, you might meet that one person that becomes your best friend forever. Right. A couple different stories. When I was in high school, when I decided to high school rodeo, I remember the first rodeo I went to, I was like, I was so overwhelmed because I came from a rodeo family, but I didn't youth rodeo or junior high rodeo. So I was kind of like, my parents knew more people than I did. And one of the very first ones we went to, there was this girl and she had this huge cowboy hat on and it like flopped in the wind. Like it almost looked like one of those big Mexican palm leaf cowboy hats that's just really goofy looking, you know? And I remember like thinking like, oh my gosh, that girl's got to be so weird. But she was smiling and laughing and having fun. Like, come to find out, like, she became one of my very best friends. Even though my first impression of her was, wow, she's kind of weird. Mm-hmm. But still just being open-minded and knowing that everybody has a story to tell and like just getting curious about others. I think it's really easy to get wrapped up in like, oh my gosh, what are they going to think about me? Instead of saying like, oh, like I'm kind of curious about that person. What can I get to know about them today? Mm-hmm. And kind of flipping the script so that it's not, the focus isn't on ourselves making friends, but on ourselves getting to know other people, and just being curious about who they are. And maybe like Kaylin said, maybe you'll be friends forever. Maybe you'll find out that that's not your person, but at least you'll still learn something that day.
Mm-hmm. And what I've also found is like two things. One, people, there's always going to be that person who does, person or people who are going to have something to say about you or something to say, whether you're the best, whether you're the worst, whether whatever you're in, there's always going to be people to say stuff, negative, positive, whatever. There's nothing you can really do to help that. And another thing is often when we think that people are hateful or they don't like us or whatever, they don't want to be our friend, it's really made up in our mind. And I know sometimes that's not the case, but I know most of the time it's made up in my mind. I know there's somebody who I thought always did not like me. Send me a friend request, okay? Go to the next rodeo, nicest joker ever. Never, like, acted like we've been best friends for years. And it was just, I don't know. It was made up in my mind. He never done anything. It's just kind of the side looks and the things that you get. It's a lot made up, I think. And so overcoming your mental game, really, and that everybody's out for you. They're really not. Not a lot of people are out to go for you. Not a lot of people are really, not too many people care about your bad run or whatever. So really getting over that is the big thing. Gentry, did you have a question?
It was just not a question, but it was like adding on to the friend thing. What I found, like, there's this one girl that I was really intimidated by because of her barrel runs and everything like that. And now she's one of my best friends because I just stayed humble. I let her get to know me and everything like that. So I think just staying humble, letting people get to know you, you can really make life very easy on you for making friends.
Oh, for
mm-hmm.
sure.
Staying true to yourself.
Oh, for sure.
And remembering, too, that, like, we are all so worried about ourselves and how we're performing and what's going on in our own lives. Like, there's a book called You Can Be Happy No Matter What. And in the very first chapter, it says that 90% of the time, what we think people are thinking about us, they aren't thinking at all because they're thinking about themselves. You know, they don't, we don't have enough time. You know, when I go to a rodeo, I'm focused on, well, what's my horse doing? You know, what's going on in my world? What's going on in my brain? What am I going to do? How am I going to compete? You know, it's all, I'm so focused on what's going on in my own head that I'm not really paying that close of attention to other people, and other people aren't paying that close of attention to me. So just realizing that and then realizing anything that they are, good for them. Like, that's great. That's fine. Like, no big deal. Like, we can talk about it. We can still be friends about it. But, and if it is negative, well, that's a reflection of them, not of me. So remembering that too. And also, like, it's really helped me when it comes to making friends and even just being curious about people in general, is remembering that we never know what's happening behind closed doors or what's happening in somebody else's mind, and to never make assumptions that I know what somebody else is going through, whether it's the person that's struggling or it's the person that's winning. Like, it can be really easy to point at the person who's winning everything, who has the nice horses, who has the big fancy rig, and be like, oh my gosh, their mom and dad does everything for them, grandma and grandpa, you know, all this kind of stuff, and create this judgment. Or even like Gentry kind of said, you know, there's this intimidation of those people who have success, and just make those assumptions that we know who they are based on the results of what we can see. But that's not necessarily true. Like, we do not know the pressure that those people are under. We do not know the agreements they have with their parents. We do not know what's happening in their personal lives at all, you know? And when I learned that, it really helped me have a lot of grace. And also knowing that, you know, the person who's struggling with their horse, it might be the first horse that they've ever gotten, and they maybe had to go to work at the Dairy Queen for the last 2 years to be able to buy that $500 sale barn horse, and they are just trying to live their dream, and they just don't have enough money to get lessons or don't have enough knowledge or whatever. And if I judge them based on what I see and I don't become a friend to them, like, I'm probably the one missing out, because they might actually be working 100 times harder than I am, even though their horse is acting like in that case, just because they don't know, they don't have that knowledge or that experience or any of the finances to make that happen. And just learning to not judge everybody and just kind of see things where they are and get to know people for who they are and not the image that I see in my first, like, my preconceived notions, if that makes sense. I think that helps make friends.
Oh, yeah. Like, you can, like, there's always going to be, like, scenarios running through your mind. Like, what if they say this? What if they don't like me? Like, what if this happens? What if that happens? But I feel like we just need to kind of let go of that and just, like, trust that God has a plan, and there's a reason these people are in our lives. And so we should just, like, get to know them, like, get to know these people. It could be an awesome opportunity for us or even for them.
Oh,
yeah. Amen, sister.
For sure. And those thoughts you build up, they don't like me, the side look they gave you before your run, et cetera, puts a weight on your performance. I mean, it really changes the way you perform, the way you compete. You know, whether they look bad at you right before you went in the box or whatever, it really puts away. So really getting over that and continuing through that is, it's going to really change. You're going to see a change in your performance.
Oh yeah. Gentry, did you have something?
I did. So I used to compete with this kid. His name, I don't know if you guys probably don't know him, but
don't say his name.
I used to compete with him in team roping, and now we're best friends.
kind of adding on, like, what Caitlin said, or not Caitlin, Isaiah. If you worry about what other people say, it ruins how you have your mental game, or it ruins how you run it, go into the alley, ruins how you perform. So if you just look past and through what other people say, then you won't really have that issue.
Uh-huh. For sure.
I have another story for you guys. So another one of my best friends, a different one, when I was in college, there's this girl from Virginia, and she came in and she had this accent that I had never really heard before. And she was really nice, was super bubbly, and like had nice horses. She had a really nice burro horse and roped good. And I remember that I would make fun of her. I was not very nice. I was like, I'm generally a pretty nice person, always have been, but for whatever reason, I was being snotty, totally being a snot. And I would make fun of her because she would say, "Hey girl," like, and she would just kind of drag it out. Like that was just a social thing in Virginia that they would do. But I was being really snotty. And one day, they were recording her goat tying run, and I was sitting on the fence at a college rodeo, and I was making fun of her, and I got caught on camera. And it was one of the best experiences that probably ever happened to me, one of the most humbling experiences. Because the other thing about this girl, her name is Lacey, and she was in my wedding, you know, last year, like to this day, one of my very best friends. But she was not afraid to confront me either, because she marched right up to me and looked me in the face. And she said, "Were you making fun of me on my camera when I was making my run?" And I was like, "No." And she's like, "Yes, you were. Like, it was your voice. I know it was you." And so I owned up to it. I was like, "You know, that was me. And I'm really sorry. Like, that really wasn't nice." And it took me a little bit of time, like reflecting and with my tail tucked between my legs, you know, to be able to say like, "Hey, like, I realized how snotty that was and how rude that was and how mean that was." And thankfully, like, we're human. We're going to make those mistakes. We're going to make assumptions of people from time to time. The devil's going to sneak in and put bad thoughts in our head about other people. But acknowledging that, and even I think when we tell people sometimes like, "Hey, I used to think this about you and I'm really sorry. Like, I was wrong about you." I think that it shows us our humanness, for one. It shows our authenticity, and it gives people a chance to connect with you in a real way. When you say, "Hey, like, I'm sorry, I messed up, I was wrong." Like, everybody likes to hear that somebody else was wrong. I mean, mm-hmm. Everybody likes to hear that. And so even though it takes a little bit of humble pie to admit it, it really does advance a friendship. Like, Lacey, because I was willing to admit my mistakes and to apologize sincerely and to make it up to her, and like just be really genuine that like I screwed up, like, "You're right, like, that was a really good lesson for me." And then we were still friends after that, you know. But had I not been humble enough to put my pride aside and continue to be a jerk about it, then we wouldn't be friends today. So just sometimes setting your pride aside, setting your ego aside, and acknowledging where you were wrong about somebody and just being like, "Hey, like, I'm really sorry." And the other thing on that is like, opinions in today's world, there's like this deal where opinions become facts, and that's not true. Opinions are meant to be changed. You know, like, you get to have an opinion, and when you gather more knowledge, you get more educated, you have more experiences, that opinion is going to change. My opinion of how I thought a horse should have been started or ridden or trained on barrel horses when I was your guys' age versus in my 30s, I'm a completely different rider, and my opinion on how to do things has completely changed because I'm more experienced. It's the same thing with people. Like, what I used to think, you know, the judgment that I made of somebody or the opinion that I created of somebody, it can change when I get to know them. It can change when I quit being judgmental. So just remembering that too.
Oh, for sure. And something else I just thought of. Some people, you know, we always talk about the mean group or the mean person. Some people look at you as that person. You know, being approachable is something that I've really, really tried to work on, because I've always kind of been like the one at the rodeos, like, me, my horse, I'm set aside. I mean, I'd be totally fine if no one talked to me at a rodeo. You know, setting myself aside, doing my run, being done. And so you being the approachable person, like, I know somebody, nicest person you'll ever meet, but you walk past her and she looks like a total jerk. So being approachable, being happy, and, you know, what are tips to being approachable? What are ways for people to want to approach you? Gentry, you can answer first, and then Kaylin, What are ways, Gentry, then Rooster, then Kalen, what are ways that you can improve yourself to want people to approach you, want people to talk to you?
Okay, so like I was one of those people, like I looked really mean because I'm in like competition mode. So people wouldn't really like talk to me or anything like that. And then I started like saying, hi, good job, good luck today. And that's how I started like building myself up in that industry. So I think you can really just help yourself out by saying hi, like saying good luck, good job, or doing anything like that instead of just like being in competition mode like I was.
Oh, for sure. Like that one person who's going to say say good job, that was a good run, who's going to watch you. It means so much to that person you don't realize. You know what I mean? Like after you get done with the run, someone says good job or good run or whatever. It's a game changer. Oh, I thought you didn't like me. You know what I mean? It changes the game for not only yourself but the other person you just said it to.
Now I've made like a lot of friendships by not being in competition mode so like often.
And then when you say that to somebody else, it makes them want to say it to you, and then it starts something. It starts a friendship, and then it just makes you more approachable and makes people want to come and talk to you.
Yeah.
Rooster, what's one way that can make you approachable?
Well, it's kind of what Gentry said, but I started roping a couple of years ago, and I decided to start congratulating the other kids that were roping, and built one of them. We built a friendship, and now we rope together.
It totally changes. Totally changes and being nice like that.
Presenting yourself and being happy and congratulating someone.
Oh, yeah, for sure, for sure.
And, like, keeping a smile on your face, or, like, I know it's hard when you're, like, getting ready to go down the alleyway or something. Like, it's hard to keep a smile on your face because you're concentrating on your run. But, like, if you think about it, just, like, give someone a smile when they're walking by. Like, if someone needs help, offer them help. Like, because you see a lot of people, like, someone will be struggling with their horse and I think there's a lot of people who make it a good point. Like, if someone's having trouble getting in the alleyway, there's people that'll help. And that's really nice. But, like, if someone's, like, trying to walk multiple horses at once and you see them struggling, hey, let me help you. Like, just, like, help others, be approachable, and, like, smile.
And you'll get that vibe, like, okay, this is the this person doesn't really like me. That's going to be them. You know what I mean? It's nothing you did. You can try. And something that I've also found is confronting that is one of the best ways. Hey, did I do something wrong? That's going to make them think every time they see you, this is somebody that I want to talk to. You know what I mean? I don't want to give them a cold shoulder because they might confront me in front of everybody. You know what I mean? It's trying to make that friend, really trying to make that friend.
Yeah.
And something else, I know this is a little different subject, but something else is, like when I first started rodeo, this is a big problem that I think a lot of people struggle with when they first start rodeo in their first year, or, you know, maybe you're 3 or 4 years down the road, but really, really wanting it. Because we can say to friends we want it. We can even talk ourselves in that we really, really want it. But it's how bad you want it. Because, like, I know for me, like, I've always wanted a team rope. Always. I've always said, oh, well, I'm in a team rope. That looks so fun. That looks easy. Whatever. Something that I've always wanted to do. And so for a while, I've said, oh, I'll try that next year. I'll try this next year. And it just kind of never happened. And so finally breaking down and being like, okay, now's the time. Now I wish I would have started this way earlier. But going to get lessons. I know something that immediately started me off of my roping was the Rodeo Kids sponsor, or the Rodeo Kids scholarship. I applied for the scholarship, and like I think it was like 2 months, and I got four lessons paid for from roping. And that kicked off my roping so much. Like, once I started that roping, I just kept going. Oh, I'll pay for the next lesson. And I just kept going. And started with breakaway. Now going into team roping. And it's how bad I want it. I know, like, somebody's like, maybe start next season. No, it's happening next rodeo. Do you know what I mean? So it's how bad you want it and really chasing after it. Being strict to yourself and not overdoing yourself, but knowing your ability. So
yeah,
kind of, if anybody has tips on how to really chase after what you want, maybe whether you really want to do barrels or really want, you know, really starting that.
And one of the things that me and my dad have kind of butted heads about is me shoot dogging, because mm-hmm. that's not really a girls' event. It's mm-hmm. it's for boys. Like, you're going to get hurt, all this.
Yeah.
But, like, if you really want something and you really, like, if you like some, if you like to do it
mm-hmm.
and you understand that there is a risk, but you still enjoy it, then, like, do it. And I feel like that's kind of the problem. But, like, there's major associations, they're starting to let guys barrel race, but they're not letting girls do shoe dogging.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of just like,
it's being stubborn, not only to yourself, but being stubborn to those around you. Because I know for me, it's like, oh, maybe you should wait a couple more years. You're going to lose a finger or whatever. It's being stubborn. If you really want it that bad, you're going to be willing to be stubborn. You're going to be willing to fight for what you want to do, per se. You know what I mean? So really standing strong on what you want and not overdoing it at the same time. Gentry, did you have a question?
Yeah. Hang on. So, if you want something bad enough, just go for it. Don't hesitate. Don't do something like that. Just go for it. There's no point in hesitating whenever... like, if you want it bad enough, you can go for it, and it's not going to hurt you.
And I know for me, when I was roping, it wasn't that. I know, like, some people, they're going to struggle to be able to pay for lessons. They're going to struggle to pay for a roping horse or a barrel horse or be able to pay their entry fees. But it's not even about getting lessons or getting the horse, whatever. Right then and there. When I'm saying try and be stubborn about it is, I remember nights that I was out till 3 a.m. roping. I mean, just roping, keeping going. I mean, we didn't have a roping dummy, or we didn't have a team roping sled or whatever. I remember when we first started, we had a post out in the yard and we all rope it, and we would just rope it and rope it. And I remember me and Seda did this challenge where for 10 days, A, we would rope more than we were on social media or TV. But not only that, what we would do is for 10 days is the first day we'd have to catch 10 in a row. And the second day we'd have to do 20 in a row. And we'd go up to 100. And I remember we'd stay out there hours and hours and hours roping. And that's what it's going to take. It's not just going to come to you overnight. And I think that's something that I expected for myself, is it just kind of fall all in my hands. And it's not going to happen like that. It really isn't. It's going to be how bad you want it, how bad you want to chase it. You know what I mean? Then saved money, got a rope and dummy, we got the equipment, went and got lessons. So it's how bad you want to chase it. I know you're not going to start off, like, if you don't have the money to do it or don't have the equipment that you need, it's not going to be the easiest to start off, but it's how bad you want it.
Mm-hmm. Like, when I first started, I took my dad's rope horse, and I was running like 22s, and it was how bad I wanted it. So I practiced, I did all of that. And now I have a barrel horse, and we're running consistent 15s. And every chance I get, I either go out and ride, I practice, or I just run the imaginary barrels on foot, trying to practice. That's how bad I wanted it.
And if it's raining, you're going to watch videos. And I remember days where I would rope the dummy inside, and, like, doing things like that. And I know before, when we weren't getting lessons because of a truck problem or whatever, I remember I had a buddy, and I would rope And I would record myself and send him videos, and he would give me tips. And then I would do it again, and I would record it, and I'd send it to him, and he'd give me tips. And so that helped me more than you would think, because it was just really breaking down and being honest to myself on how bad I wanted it and chasing after that.
Yeah, and like yesterday it was snowing all day, so I just turned on the Cowboy Channel, and I turned on Breakaway, Heading, or Barrels. And I just watched it over and over and over again till I like, and I really focused. There was one point where I was looking at the TV like this, trying to see what they're doing and everything like that. So when it gets not like bad weather outside, I just turn on the Cowboy Channel and I watch and like see what they're doing that I can do differently.
Oh yeah, for sure. Helen, do you have any tips on, you know, really chasing after it and, really continuing, even when it's hard?
Well, I kind of have a story. First year doing rodeo, and I missed at the association. I missed the first three rodeos, and I wasn't a member because I had an accident where a horse flipped on me, and I couldn't walk for almost 2 months. So I didn't have a horse either because that horse obviously got sold. Mm-hmm. But people told me, I wouldn't join this year. Just wait till next year so you can do all-around rookie and all that. And I said, but I want to do it now.
Mm-hmm.
And I was only running barrels at the time, but I decided if I was going to join, I was going to go for all-around rookie. Mm-hmm. So I started two more events, and I was at the end of the year. I missed the first three rodeos, but I was 2 points away from all-around rookie. And I know it hurt. Like, it felt like defeat. But I decided this year I'm going to come back stronger and I'm going to do even more events. So then maybe I can win all around cowgirl.
Exactly. And chase how bad. It's all about how bad you want it. And that's what people got to realize when starting in the sport of rodeo. It's really, really hard to chase it and really, really want it. Because you can really fool yourself that I really, really want this. I really want to do it. You can even fool yourself into, oh, I want to do it next time, whatever. It's really, really chasing it. And I know, like, going back to the accident you had, it changes the way that you'll never ride the same again. I remember I had a horse and Seda had barrels, or no, Seda had poles out. And I was practicing roping and whatever. And I was like, me and my horse can do this. You know, poles are easy, whatever. And so I just gunned my horse, and we were going through it, and she tripped in a hole and fell. And so, like, her butt kind of landed on me, and I was fine and whatever, and she took off. But it knocked the breath out of me, and, like, it was so bad. And it really, really scared me, and, you know, I got back on, and I rode and whatever, but I've never been able to ride the same again. Like, I just don't run through fields like that and whatever. For reasons like that. And so it's hard to overcome things like that, for sure. And being, it's just, you'll never do it the same, because I know, like, I'm always, when I ride, I'm looking down. Like Seda even says all the time, when you ride, you're always looking on the ground. It's because I'm always looking for holes. It's things like that. And it'll totally change you. So there has, it, you have to get over it at some point and really keep going. And it's hard because, you know, starting back rodeo, I'm sure it was a hard thing after having all that happen. It's a hard thing, but it goes back to how bad you want to do it. How bad do you want a rodeo? You know what I mean?
It's I didn't even want to go out to the barn for 2 weeks, and I didn't even want to ride a horse, like, ever again. Mm-hmm. But I saw on TV, the NFR had just happened to be on the TV.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, like, just watching it, and I was, like, this is what I always wanted to do. And I'm letting myself and my mental, like, processes, like, how I thought about, like, all the scenarios going through my head, like, what could happen if I got on. I had to push them away. And, like, no matter how hard it is, like, I spent New Year's in the hospital, and they didn't think, like, they thought I had brain bleeds and everything. But I got lucky, and I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God. But it was so hard getting back riding. But, like, now that I'm back riding, it's just I realized how much I missed it and everything, and it just...
It's taking that step out, even when it's hard, like, really believing in your abilities and overcoming it. It's a hard thing, but once you do it, it's going to be your best friend. You know what I mean? It's really going to change things. Okay, so if no one else has anything else to say, we will end there. I feel like this was a great podcast. You know, us ambassadors kind of just pieced this together because, you know, we were going to do another podcast, but some things happened and we were able to make it happen. So sorry for the little stutters and whatever we had through the podcast. But, you know, we decided to do this podcast because there's a lot going into rodeo, whether you're starting off or whether you've been in rodeo for a long time. This podcast, it was really trying to help people out. And I know if you go to rodeokids.com, we have a lot of different opportunities. And if you just need a friend or someone to talk to, head over to rodeokids.com and send us a message and we can help you out. And there's so many different ways, whether it's your mental game or whether you need leadership skills, there's so many different ways to help out. And it's a hard sport. It's really, really a hard sport. And it's something that it's going to take a little while to get used to. And I know we covered a little bit of everything today, but it's going to take a lot and it's going to be something that doesn't fall overnight. So I hope this podcast helps somebody. If nobody else has anything to say, I'll end us out in a prayer. God, I thank you for your many blessings. I thank you for continuing to help all the cowboys and cowgirls in the rodeo. I thank you for a program that's out there to help and build these skills. And I thank you for the opportunity to be able to do this podcast. And, you know, we may have just pieced it together, God, but we've got it done. And I pray that this podcast helps many, many people. Pray that this podcast will reach people who are struggling and reach people who maybe aren't struggling. I hope this podcast can help the good people help other people. I pray that we all stay safe as we compete. I pray all these things in your name. Amen. Thank you, everybody, for joining the podcast.